Last month, the Arab American Institute released the findings of their latest poll of American attitudes toward Arabs and Muslims. Dr. James Zogby is president of the Arab American Institute, and I'm very happy to welcome him back on to State of Belief Radio today. Dr. Zogby, welcome.
Thank you very much, Walton.
Talk, if you will, about the attitudes that you've seen eroding over the past few years of doing this poll.
We tracked in our report the findings from 2010, 12, and 14, because in those three polls we started doing every other year, we'd ask a number of questions that were all the same, and therefore it allows us to do tracking of a number of issues. But in those 3 years, the favorable attitudes towards Arabs and Muslims have declined and the unfavorables have increased. But let me go back to when we first started doing questions about Arabs and Muslims in the early 90s. Back then, we found that attitudes towards Arabs and Muslims were roughly the same as attitudes towards Hindus and Chinese and Buddhists. They were 2-to-1 favorable, but the numbers were low. About 40% would say, I just don't know. Today, the numbers are significantly changed, more unfavorable than favorable. And of all the groups included in the survey, Arabs and in particular Muslims come out the lowest in favorable and highest in unfavorable ratings.
You know, Jim, it's impossible not to draw the conclusion that simply knowing Arab Americans and American Muslims makes a huge difference in attitudes toward members of those groups.
That's one of the issues that we've been tracking now in the last three surveys, and that's absolutely true. If you know an Arab or Muslim, your numbers are decidedly more favorable toward those two groups. I would also add that there's a huge demographic split. If you're younger, if you are educated, and if you are from a minority group, you are going to have, by and large, favorable attitudes. Older white guys are the issue.
What for me is a more difficult one, and that's the political polarization among the respondents. Is it unrealistic to draw a line from the media that members of the political parties are consuming and the conversations that they're having that's actually growing the levels of mistrust and negativity among conservatives? Because there is a tremendous divide.
People say, there's Fox News, there's CNN, there's MSNBC, and they cater to different crowds. They do cater to different crowds in an interesting way. People who are conservative, who call themselves conservative, will report largely watching Fox News. Fox News doesn't change people's opinions. It reinforces pre-existing positions, as does watching MSNBC reinforce the positions of people on the liberal side. And so if you have on the Fox News side a steady stream of people who are watching that and listening to talk radio shows that are largely right-wing talk radio shows, what you're going to get is a set of reinforced ideas that translates in the poll to when we ask people, do you know enough or do you need to know more? People who are Democrats and independents largely say, I don't know enough. I need to know more. So that even though their attitudes may not be very positive, although they're more positive than they are negative, they will say, I just don't know enough. I need to know more.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the Republican side, those who have negative attitudes towards Arabs, largely say, I know enough. I don't need to know anymore because I saw it on television or I heard it on the radio or I read it in some scandalous newspaper article about these people or those people or however they categorize them. So, yeah, there is a connection between the media that you watch, the attitudes you have, and the sense you have that I now know enough, I don't need to know anymore. All I want are my prejudices reinforced, which is what unfortunately occurs.
Jim, there's something profoundly sad about the answers you got regarding some Americans not trusting members of these groups as being able to put aside their primary loyalties to their religious or ethnic group in performing responsible duties. Isn't that a sign of a worrisome level of depersonalization?
Well, we've been asking that question now in the last three surveys, and what we have found, again, is an erosion of confidence in the ability of a person of Arab descent or a person of the Muslim faith to serve in an important government post. If you recall, in 2012, in one of the debates that occurred among the Republican presidential aspirants, Ermin Gain said something to the effect that a Muslim who wanted a post in his government would have to take a special loyalty oath because he wouldn't trust him otherwise.
Right.
And they went down the line with the other candidates, and a total of five of them agreed that that ought to be the case. The only one who ducked it was Mitt Romney, and I think probably because he was a Mormon and understands the concerns of a minority who is held in suspicion, that he just wasn't going to go there. But that attitude became fairly widespread in the country, that Muslims were out to subvert the country. You had in the 2010 congressional race, 17 congressional races using very similar ads about Muslims and about the building of a mosque in Lower Manhattan, which was called a victory mosque. They're trying to take over the country and convert us to Islam. You had 27 states that were considering legislation banning Sharia law when there wasn't a single state where anyone was proposing Sharia law. This was an epidemic, like the kind of hysteria epidemics you read about, created by a non-event. I mean, it wasn't as if there were Muslims out there saying, let's introduce Sharia law and take over America. It didn't exist, yet 27 states were actually considering legislation to ban it.
Mm-hmm.
And that notion that you can't trust them, they're not public servants, they wouldn't be good Americans, of not only Muslims, but of Arab Americans, who are not Muslim for the most part, almost 70% of Arab Americans are Christian, ignores the reality that in the Bush administration itself, the head of the NIH was a Muslim American. He had Muslim Americans in the State Department. He had Arab Americans in his cabinet. He had Arab Americans in the National Security Council. And yet, as far as the Republican base was concerned, we don't trust those people to be Americans and to operate as Americans. And that was something quite worrisome to me, and certainly to my community, is that if an Arab American were to get a post, then they would be held under suspicion by a large segment of the population and a majority of Republicans, which has been the case. In some instances, we've seen that some folks in my community have had positions in government and have been hounded by some in Congress or others outside of Congress who felt that you couldn't have an Arab in a sensitive position in the State Department, an Arab American, or you wouldn't trust them. That is not said about other ethnic or religious communities. It just isn't.
I am astounded at the level of simple misunderstanding that you found when it comes to Americans not understanding the differences between Arabs and Muslims.
Yeah, I mean, they conflate the two. They believe that most Muslims are Arabs and most Arabs are Muslims, and both aren't true. About a third of Arab Americans, less than a third, are Muslim, and less than a quarter of Muslims are Arab.
Yeah.
And yet those stick together in people's minds, in large measure because that's the way the negative stereotypes have been conveyed here.
Yeah. Will you talk about the implications of what you have been talking about here in your polling data, the implications of that for the way we live together?
America, what has always been its greatness, even if it hasn't lived up to its greatness, is the promise that we are one people, that we become one people. When people say to me, we need to inoculate ourselves against terrorism, I say, we already did by becoming American. The fact that we take people from all over the world, they don't just get a passport, but they become a different person when they become American. You can be in Britain for three generations and still be tacky. You can be in Germany for three generations and still be a Turk. But in America, after you become an American, you become like everybody else, and no one can distinguish or should discriminate against you. And so if you want to say, what is different between us and Europe? It's that we have an absorptive identity, an identity that is all of us. Now, if we do not continue to operate that way, if we say to young Muslims and Arabs, you're not part of us, You'll never be part of us. Then the danger of extremism will take root here, because people will be alienated and not find a place in their American identity. And so, to me, it is a very important issue that America live up to its promise and be American. I don't want to see young kids turn their back and feel America doesn't want me. It doesn't feel I belong here. And, you know, a lot of it, I think, goes to a lot of what we're seeing play out right now. And the changes are not the developments overseas, but it's the president we have, Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. I believe that anti-Muslim hysteria on the right wing is a function of their reaction against a black president that they still cannot live with. And so he's not like us, he's Muslim, he's not one of us, has spilled over into the public debate about a general intolerance for Arabs and Muslims, period. The seeds of it were there, but I think that part of the right-wing campaign against Barack Obama has been to fuel even greater sense of Islamophobia, and it is a travesty. So I think it has to do, at the end of the day, with our identity, with our ability to live up to our promise, with our ability to continue to absorb people and not alienate people, and it has to do with the image that we project to the world. Are we an open, tolerant, and inclusive society, or are we not? And so all of those reasons, to me, are important to consider every time we do one of these polls, and the findings that we get should challenge us to be better.
The American Attitudes Toward Arabs and Muslims poll has recently been released by the Arab American Institute. Dr. Zoghbi, thank you for being with us again on State of Belief Radio today.
Thank you.